This is Catch the Craze Audio Mix. We are the heart of the industry.
Yeah. Catch the Craze in the house. No doubt. So I check the flow, cause you know I got so. The name is Catch the Craze, baby. So act like you know what's called Catch the Craze. The one originator, the crazy creator, giving you a fever with my boy Dreamer Medina. Weekly all the time with the newest and the best. Independence from the north, the south, east and west. You got the SSS and the devils that are silent. Kiss me comics cause it ain't all about violence. Neat stuff collects and the brothers, the Dables. Crazy comics in the house are willing and able. The underground sounds from hip hop to rock. Jamming on the saxophone is my boy Philip Clark. Cause I'ma keep it going cause you know I got to flow. The name is Uncle Sam. Like you know, act like you know.
Catch the craze. Catch the craze.
I'm bugging out, baby.
Catch the craze.
Spread the word, have you heard?
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast Audio Mix. I am your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
This is George the Dreamer Medina.
Oh, Nathan, this is George the Dreamer Medina. Hey. It's like, how you doing? All right. So, the most anticipated show of the year, of the century. This is it. The award-winning episode. The New York Comic Con second annual wrap-up on Catch the Craze. What? Boy, I got a lot to talk about. I don't know about you.
Yeah, you had to talk me into this one, man. Last year, I volunteered for this. I was at work. Remember, I was at work. You called me at work. I was like, yeah, let's do this show. Blah, blah, blah. This year, I'm home. And now, I don't know.
I know.
I'm not as excited as I was last year.
I know. And it's frustrating in a sense. Hold on. I got to hide my phone. It's frustrating in a sense because I think from an independent standpoint or even from a personal standpoint that mentally and subconsciously I built it up to be bigger than life because of last year.
Right.
And you expected more from this year.
Yeah.
And the end result did not meet my expectation. You know what I mean? In a sense where, you know, it is the most frustrating thing to prepare for. For a New York Comic Con or San Diego, it's extremely stressful and frustrating to prepare for an event. And so the days, the weeks leading up to a show like this, you know, you're trying to dot your I's and cross your T's and making sure this is done and making sure this person did that and make sure that person did that and all this stuff and making sure that, you know, everything's ready and everybody has this. And you know, you're getting ready for that event.
Right.
And all that stress, you know, is going to be worth it because, you know, when you get to that event, everything's just going to, all that's going to go away. You know, because you're going to be having fun. It's going to be bigger than life and you're going to have new experiences and meet new people and all that stuff and, you know, sell unlimited amounts of books and, you know, and I have mixed reviews.
Right, me too.
You know, and I think, you know, and I'm going to start, you know, I guess I'll lead into the New York City Comic Con because for us it was twofold. For us, it was a two-part initiative, you know, promoting Catch the Craze and promoting Crazy Comics. On the Catch the Craze front, you know, it'll be the first time that we'll be recording live at an event. It would be the first time that we would have a street team, if you will, where we'd be out there getting interviews and speaking to the people and to the guests and to the fans and all that stuff, you know. And we have a setup, you know, our microphones will be there at all booked and everything. And we're looking to get coverage and bring information to the listeners out there who cannot be at the show, you know. So, and then we're also, as part of Catch the Craze, we sponsored the second annual Indie After Party, which I also have mixed reviews about. And, you know, so you want those two initiatives to be successful. Then on the other front, there was a lot of publicity involved and marketing involved to promote the new titles from Crazy Comics. You know, we would have the fourth issue of Disney in My Toilet ready for the event. We'd have the revised Forbidden, you know, redone, remastered, you know, perfect with a new cover by David Keeler, a new colorist on the team by Nicola, and new lettering by you and all that stuff. So, I mean, it was packaged nicely. Then he had the release of the Oogly Booglies, which is an all-ages picture book, first time ever. So you want it, you know, you want that to be successful, you know, so you, you prepare. Like, you know, and I'm going to give us as an example. We prepare. We have our whole team involved. You know, David the Wolf Keeler is the first time he's at a booth with us. You know, Anibal Arroyo, Jonathan the Psycho Sci-Fi, Jordan Chimo and Medina, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, we're all there. We're getting busy. We're representing, right? And, you know, you want each end to be successful. And then, you know, and at a certain point, you're like, you know, realistically, if I'm going to not be as successful as the other, which will I sacrifice? And I'm like, all right, I'd rather be more successful on the Crazy Comics front,
right?
Because you have product that you can get into people's hands, than on the Catch the Crazy front, because you can still build that because it's an audio and you're building a listener base. And we're not really selling anything, we're just getting the word out. So, you know, the morning of the New York City Comic Con, you know, get there, and I meet, you know, Mr. Syfax, and we get there, and I'm like, I'm excited. I see the lines of people outside. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can feel it. I can feel it. I can smell it. And you walk in, you're like, all right, where are we? And next you know, I'm passing the main exhibitor hall, and I'm going up an escalator to go up another flight of stairs into an isolated room. And I was annoyed. Even though when I got up to our location, you know, we had a lot of leg room behind our table. But I just, first thing in my mind was, how's anybody going to know we're up here?
Right.
I didn't see, like, I didn't see any, like, real big drawers that's going to bring those people in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow.
I mean, the artists, you know, you've had artists up there. Like, nobody go up there. But, you know, whenever they had to do a signing, they went downstairs.
Right.
They didn't stay up there.
No.
They went down to the tables downstairs.
Right.
That's where everybody was.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there was no, the traffic that was coming up was either hardcore fans who were looking to talk to the main dudes anyway, or they were just kind of just, oh, I know this is up here. Let me check it out really quick and then keep it moving because I got to get back downstairs.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I just think that when things are all on one level, then the people can really get to enjoy the show and see everything.
Right.
I think that that's what people love about San Diego is that everything is in one level. And they, every time they go over there, they say, whenever we speak to somebody who's over there, like, oh, my God, I didn't know all this was here.
Right.
Like, or damn, I love this because you get to see so many different things.
Right.
You know? You want the big companies there at the beginning. Sure, they're going to be at the beginning. You know, whatever. They're the draw, right? But if you want to see all the other cool stuff, keep walking to the back. And there they are.
Right.
You keep walking. You it's almost like you, it's just one big sweep of the floor. You don't have to look upstairs, look downstairs. You know what I mean? And what are you looking for upstairs and downstairs? Well, you're looking for the celebrities, which you're going to look for anyway.
Right. Because
you want to know where they are. Or you're looking for the panels, which, if you know the Comic-Con, you know they have, like, the San Diego Comic-Con has the best picking panels.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know you're going to meet the directors of some hot-ass movies that are coming out. The whole cast of, like, a movie that's coming out are going to be there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it would have been cool to have the whole cast of Spider-Man 3, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or even Nicolas Cage, if he made it. I don't even know who was there. I don't think so.
The only person I seen there was the girl from Heroes.
Right.
That was it. You know, and Arnold from Distant Strokes, Arnold. Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman.
You know, and it's funny that you brought that up because in San Diego, you are on the selling floor. You are there with the big boys. You are there, you know, in the mix. And,
you're part of the show. Man.
Right. You're part of the show. You're not isolated and separated and not made to feel like you're not as important.
Right.
In New York, I guess you get into that bureaucracy and you get into that political game where you know what? You only pay this much. This is where you're going.
Right.
You really have no say. You know, and that's the feeling I felt because when you're in San Diego, you're made to feel important. You know what I'm saying? When you're in San Diego, they care about what you think. They care about how you're set up. You know, if you don't have enough chairs, you know, they'll accommodate you. If there's something wrong, they send somebody to help you. You know, in New York, I think in the entire 3 days, there was only one person that came over to our booth and said, you know, I just wanted to see if, you know, you guys were okay.
Right.
You know, and but in San Diego, it was daily. Right. You know what I'm saying? And it's a 5-day show, and it's five times the size.
Right.
You know, one of the things, I guess, that annoyed me was, you know, there was a lot of publicity that, you know, we did a lot of things. This phone, I got to turn this off because I'm getting all these text messages.
Got it.
Yeah, that's you. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, George. I'm getting a text from you.
Those are Cuba's.
Oh, the sketches? Oh, so this is the part that really bothered me the most about the New York City Comic Con was the fact that, all right, on that Friday, there was a full page feature of There's Nail in My Toilet in the New Jersey Journal with a caption on the cover and a photo on the cover. Came out that Friday, strategically came out by the newspaper themselves to help us get word out, and they did the feature on it. But then I got just 2 days ago emails from reporters saying that they were looking, they couldn't find us. You know, they read the articles, they were looking forward to coming down and seeing us and getting some information and possibly doing features on us, but they couldn't find us at the convention. They didn't think we showed up.
Right.
That's frustrating.
Yeah. Right.
That's frustrating. You know what I mean? And that's the part that annoyed me because most people, most of our regular fans from the New York City, from the Big Apple Comic Con, we have regulars that they had a hard time finding us.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was just, I felt it, and it basically killed my spirits. You know, because normally I'm at the table and I want to drive business and I want to engage. I said, let me just go out and field report. You know, let me get some, you know, footage for and commentaries for Cast of Craze. Because I was annoyed. You know, and then when they did start getting crowds that were really just going to go to the back to see the girl from Heroes or something, there was barely any room in the aisles. It wasn't wide enough. You know, so the workspace was limited. You know, I mean, those are the frustrating things. And, you know, and what I don't understand is, like, they, you know, they say they're getting bigger and better. So next year, if they're going to have 80% of the Javits Center, are artists at least still going to be, are we still going to be upstairs? Do we have to?
I mean, it's got to be done differently.
Yeah, I think, but then, you know what? And it doesn't encourage me to want to go and buy a small press booth, because look what happened to the small press booth guys. There was a bunch of, you know, they paid for a small press booth, and on their contract it said booth, table, and 2 chairs.
Right.
And they didn't get tables or chairs.
Right.
And the day of, they're expecting tables and chairs, they find out that they have to pay extra. $45 a chair.
Yeah.
And I forgot how much it was for the table.
Not cool.
That's not cool.
It's crazy, man. Last year it was all about, you know, we're like, oh, I can't wait till next year.
Yes.
This year, I'm like a little leery about next year.
Yes. It was almost as if, you know, and this is the thing that was also a little concerning, is where last year, they were so hyped, they were so abrasive of everyone who wanted to be part of New York City Comic Con, and they guaranteed us that we'd have our tables for next year, that if we registered at the event next year to secure a table for this year, that it would be done. But the challenges we faced as independents and as small press and as Artist Alley in trying to confirm our tables, even though we were promised because we were exhibitors before the first event, we still wasn't guaranteed, even though at the show they guaranteed us.
Right.
And I personally had to haggle several months at a time, go back and forth, and like practically grovel.
Right.
To make sure I got my table.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm paying. Dude, I'm paying. I don't understand. You guarantee me. I was one of the first last year. I was
even this year, one of the things that they said was if somebody else who used to appeal is more important or maybe drives in more traffic decides they want a table and they spend enough, you small guys are out of here.
Yes, that was the consensus. You know, at the end of the after party and even at the convention, a lot of the independent publishers were saying that when they went down to register, they were being told. And this is, I wasn't told myself, you know, so I'm speculating right now. And they were allegedly told that if there is or there are individuals or people who have a fan base and that'll drive traffic, your table's not guaranteed because they're going to bring in those. They'll get first pick.
Right.
So if they have a name behind the request, that person gets first pick.
Right.
And, you know, and one other on the Cast of Crates, on the show, on one of the shows that's already up on the site, and there was a gentleman at the indie after party where he mentioned something. And I thought about it. He said, we are paying for the celebrities to appear. So we're paying for these tables and everything, so the celebrities come for free. Basically, they charge astronomical fees to get you know autographs and their prints and all that other stuff. But you know, but that's what we're paying for. So you know, I don't like feeling not important.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially from all the work that we do. You know, there's no independence and not. You know, we don't have the mainstream capital. We don't. We don't have the mainstream reach, but you know what? We do have a voice, and we do our best. Like for instance, I mean, we promoted the New York City Comic Con all year.
Right.
We talked about it on every show. You know, we talked about it on the forums.
Yeah.
You know, we promoted it everywhere. If we were interviewed on the radio, we talked about it.
Right.
If we were interviewed for an article, we talked about it. You know what I'm saying? So we do it. We're doing our part to get the word out.
Right.
You know, we're doing our part to get the exposure out, to bring that fan base. Because if the more people that know about it, the better chance it is for everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? So on that front, you know, one thing I thought that was creative on the part of New York City Comic Con was the, on the positive side, was the podcast arena. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, I wish I would have known about that. I would love to have been a part of it. But then when I seen the end result.
Wait, you said it down when you what?
I would have loved to have been a part of it.
Right.
You know, to have had a booth in the podcasting arena. You know, and but then when I looked at the end result, there was nothing different from what we were doing. And you know, because we did it twofold. You know, we're a publishing company and we're a podcast show. And
right.
and we were able to accomplish both.
Right.
You know, while they were just limited to being at their locations or whatever, and they did the same thing. They sent out field reporters and went out in the field and they had people at the tables. The one thing that they did was, and I think would have been, you know, nice for us to do, is that they had pre-assigned guests on their show that would be doing on-site interviews.
Right.
And that was pretty cool. But at the same time, you know, but I thought it was pretty good because it also, you have all the, what they chose is, I think they picked like the top 10 or the top 8 podcast shows. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't pick us because, you know, we are the best. Anyway, so they picked like the, you know, whatever the top, you know, the most, I guess, noticeable podcasters on the net, and they I don't know if they paid for it or if they were giving it free because they're sponsors of the show. I don't know how it worked, but and so then they got exposure on all of their shows. You know what I mean? So I thought that was good because you know it is is another form of communication and it's a great means to marketing or promotion. You know, podcasting is the future and it is today. It's happening. You know, I thought that was cool. On the other flip side of it, it was. Unless I looked at the program book, I didn't know what, where the signings were, or you know,
right.
I mean, I couldn't find anything. I couldn't see. I went downstairs. I didn't see any signs.
Right.
You know, like when you go to even like when you go to Wizard. You know, when you go to Wizard conventions, you know, you have these big signs everywhere. This room is this. This room is that. This room is this. This room is that. I didn't see
right.
that, and you know, maybe I wasn't looking hard enough, but I just didn't see it. You know, and. I know they want to go bigger next year, but how is it going to be possible? Because last year they couldn't fit everybody, right? Because they only had the limited space. This year they had plenty of space, even when it was even with the full house,
right.
They still had plenty of space.
You know, I haven't read about like the turnout, but I wonder if it was as good as last year.
That's a valid point because the biggest thing for any convention to do is to report the traffic. Right after the event.
Right.
That's what they did last year. That's
yeah.
what Wizard Chicago does.
Right.
You know what I mean? Immediately after, boom, record-breaking, you know, sales, blah, 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 blah,
right, right, right.
I mean, leading up to it, they were reporting how they were sold out for the entire 3 days back in October, in November. I couldn't see how that was possible because there was, so many, there was plenty of room.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, even though, like, you know, on Saturday morning when you got out there, I mean, the block went straight.
Yeah, it did go around the corner. I mean,
go on forever.
And you know, and to be fair, I'm sure the public, the general public, probably had a great time at the convention. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying it sucked at all. I just thought it was just different.
I just think from from an independence point of view. I just think that just like in every other convention, or like, you know, and in a lot of conventions, you know, you just don't get the, you know, the props I feel we deserve. You know what I mean?
Right, and I don't want to sound like a crybaby or like one of you're just an independent and you're always going to complain because you're...
Right.
That's not the fact. That's not true because, you know, even as an independent, even though we can't afford a billboard, we do put advertisements in our books, and we do sell a lot of units of our books, and we do have a lot of subscribers to our shows, and we do have a means of promotion, and we do get on radio shows and television shows, and we know, and we're interviewed because we do have things that people, that interest people. So we do our part to get the word out, you know, and independents do the hustle. That's one thing that can save our independents. They hustle. And I just think that there was just a different vibe this year. I wasn't excited.
No, sure.
I wasn't excited.
I felt like
I was just at another convention, and
just another convention.
And I found myself just waiting for the day to be over.
Right.
That's how I felt. I felt like I wanted, you know, I was like, all right, you know, it's another day. You know, when I'm in San Diego, I want it to go on forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's 5 days, kid, and I want it to go on forever. You know, it's right. Like, you know, when you get... Yeah, when you're exhausted, you know, because we went there last time for 10 days, and, you know, the last day, even when you're exhausted, you just wish it would just go on another day. Just one more day. You know, you're always telling yourself, just one more day. You know, and that's the kind of environment I want to be a part of. That's the kind of experience I want to have, you know, because that's fulfilling.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I know they want to be the next San Diego. Can they be that? I don't know. Not, you know, they have to do something drastically different, because one thing that San Diego does that New York City Comic Con didn't do this year, like, for, you know, in order to bring in that big draw, to be like a San Diego, you have to have a lot of guests.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have, I mean, yeah, they had that second floor, they had that gaming section.
Right.
I barely saw it full. I saw tons of empty chairs.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know what I'm saying? And I mean, one thing that was pretty cool was, you know, on the main floor, I mean, they had the Xbox 360 and they had the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games, and they had the new Darkness games. And, you know, those the consoles were always, there was always people on those consoles playing those video games.
Yeah, but you know what? You go to Target, you go to Best Buy, there's always somebody playing those things.
Yeah.
So that really doesn't say anything about, you know, what was going on there.
Right. I think if they're going to want to be San Diego, number one, they have to... It's like licensing. You know what I'm saying? The licensing show. We were small guys, but we were in the same big arena with everybody else. They didn't put the guys who couldn't afford the 100 square foot space, you know, in a different room, on a different floor. We were on the same level as Paramount Pictures, as Viacom, as Disney, as Warner Brothers. We're in the same room, and that's licensing. And that's a freaking conglomerate. That's a big, big venue.
Right.
You know, that's where money is moving. That's where deals are being made, you know. And you're bringing in tons of buyers and vendors and people and reporters and, you know. But everyone had their fair share of play on the field.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You had your chance. You know, here, they separate you. You go to Pittsburgh Comic Con, you're on the same floor. You go to Chicago Wizard World, you're on the same floor.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, I don't know if they've done it recently and they started separating things, you know, and maybe they're doing it because of that. But, damn, you know, it's like you have to keep things into perspective. And, I mean, you want to put something on the second floor, put the gaming section up there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Put, you know, put the you know, something that's, you know, that's going to draw something up. You know, it just didn't make sense. I felt, I didn't feel important. I felt, you know, I was like, damn. You know, I paid $350 for this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, this is what I paid for. I paid $350 plus all the advertisement, plus all the PR and all the hustle and everything that we've done. This is what I paid for.
Right.
So I can sell a few books because no one can pay me. That was frustrating.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I sold... Where was it? We sold there like we would sell at a regular Big Apple.
Right.
And that was frustrating because we didn't even sell what we would sell at the Big Apple National.
Right.
We didn't do what we did last year. We didn't even do close to what we do in San Diego. You know, and that was frustrating me. And the consensus was, we didn't know you were there.
Right.
We couldn't find you.
Right.
You know, I didn't even know there was up here. In fact, I ran into dozens of people on the main exhibitor hall. They're like, oh, you here? You guys don't have a booth this time? Because they see me walking with a microphone. I said, no, we're upstairs. Upstairs? There's an upstairs?
Right.
I had that conversation over a dozen times.
Right.
That's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How do you do that to people? You know, the people who are paying to honest customers, that's the part that pisses me off. That's the part that wanted me to go, you know, made me want to go postal. But it was just like, I was like, damn, pack it up, go home. You know, it's like, that's how I felt. And I was like, how can you make the best of this? You know, I was glad that the Brisky family found us. You know, I was glad that some of the fans found us. You know, the good thing about it, you know, we ran to the Sean Thomas. You know, he came looking for us, and that was pretty cool. You know, who was a guest on the show, and he just came to, you know, to show support and, you know, just tell us how much he, you know, enjoyed the show and you know, and how much respect he asked for us. That was outstanding because I admired the guy. You know, the guy came from the Bronx and, you know, he did his thing. You know, and you know, he's hot right now in the industry, and you know, and I'm glad that I was able to talk to a lot of the independents and, you know, make new friends there. But that's most of the thing we did was talk to everybody.
Right.
Because we had so much time on our hands. Because most of the time you're watching, you know, carpet dust.
Do you like comics? Well, so do we. The Comic Book Novice. Each and every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1240 WGBB and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Join comic book creator Mark Torres and his panel as they examine the current state of the comic book industry and interview professionals from the comic book field. That's The Comic Book Novice, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. here on 1240 AM WGBB and AM 1240 WGBB.com.
Are you tired of the same old, same old? Have your superheroes become a little flaky? No need to fret, fanboy. Now for Enemy Entertainment. Check out Enemy's new title, Children of the Moon. Don't miss out on the events that will change the industry as we know it. For ordering information, contact us at KOTSIS75@yahoo.com. Also great for toilet reading. Hey, we all need some inspiration.
In case you haven't heard, the fourth year of Small Press Idol has started over at the Dime Store site. Projects have begun being posted and judged, but it's not too late to join the contest if you're up to it. Projects are being accepted this year through March 25th, so you have until then to get something in and see if you can be voted on to round two when the public voting will begin. The URL you want to go to is www.dimestoreproductions.com/smallpressidol/idol07/index.html to read the guidelines and get the links to new projects as they get posted.
You're like, all right, you know, how many cracks do you see? You know, I was like, oh, we're going on food runs. You know, forget about the fact that the food was astronomically overpriced. You know what I mean? You go to Starbucks and they charge $2 more than you go to Starbucks down in on Midtown. You know, I was like, damn. You know, I was like, dude, you know, Starbucks is a couple bucks away. Then it goes, you know, their response is, oh, go and walk and freeze. I'm like, all right, gee, thanks. You know, it's like, you know, soda was $4. You know, a sandwich was $9. A small little tuna sandwich. You know, those things were crazy. So, you know, you got to pack your peanut butter and jelly sandwich and, you know, get your little, you know, little chocolate milk and bring that with you.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, there were pros and cons. I mean, the for us as a small guys, I think that was the con part. You know, we got conned out of our money. The pros, they paid off. You know, they were hooked up downstairs. And, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, the only time, you had what's his name? The guy that was with Aspen, the kid that you like.
Talon Caldwell.
He was up there, but he was gone when he had to go downstairs and do signings.
Yeah, of course.
So people knew.
They weren't staying up there to do signings.
Right. People knew to find him downstairs. Rob Liefeld, he's two tables away from us, but he was downstairs doing signings most of the time.
Right.
People
right.
knew to find him downstairs at the signings. Yeah. You know what I mean? You had Jimmy Palmiotti downstairs doing signings. You had all these other names downstairs doing signings that people knew to find him downstairs. You know, David Peterson, they found him downstairs. It's just extremely annoying to know that, because, you know, when I first got this, like, oh, wow, Rob Liefeld's only two tables away from me. I still don't want to say hi, because, you know, I don't know if he's going to, you know, get annoyed or whatever. But, you know, it's like, he's just, you know, that's pretty cool. We'll probably get, you know, a crowd. But he didn't even get a crowd, because most of the time he was downstairs.
Exactly.
So people knew, I'm going to follow him downstairs. You know? Mm-hmm. So, and then that leads me into, you know, one thing you're always talking about, each year has to be bigger than the last. You know, I think next year, they have to do, next year I'm hoping that they put us all in the same arena. If, you know.
Yeah, that's how I think it should be, man.
If we even get approved. That's the ticket, if we even get approved.
Right.
That's the ticket. But next year, hopefully you put us in the same arena. Next year, hopefully that they, you know, they the guest list are big and better. Next year, I hope, you know, that it does. You know, New York City does need it. We need the equivalent, I mean, of San Diego.
On the East Coast. The lines around the block.
Yeah.
Prove that.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about a major highway here. You're talking about the West Side Highway, and people are on that online waiting to get in. And it wasn't like nice weather either. It was not like it is right now outside. It was chilly.
Right.
You know what I mean? It wasn't warm. So people are willing to wait. And next year's going to be in April. So you know that thing's going to be packed.
Yeah, that's the part that concerns me too, because it's going to be going up against Pittsburgh Comic Con. So how's that going to affect their business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know Big Apple canceled this year's April show, and they're doing it in June, so they can't be canceling next year's April as well, you know, because it goes up against that. You know, I am voting for New York Comic Con to be bigger and better than life. But at the same time, I'm just asking for our fair share. Give us the respect that's due. You know, we're paying customers. You know, we're in this, you know, for the love of the game, and we're not looking, you know, to see anybody fail. But at the same time, you know what? It's just not working for us up there, dude. And I don't want to pay $900 or $1,000 for just floor space with no props and stuff. And, you know, you don't make that, you know, they got to look at it this way. With small press, with, you know, independents, we got to make that back financially. We got to pay, you know, there's got to be some sort of recoup from the money spent, a return on our investment. And, you know, we're not going to throw away $1,000. And that doesn't even pay for the books to be printed. Doesn't even pay for the posters or the merchandising or any of that stuff. You know, that's just that. So we're going to go and pay. I think they jacked up the price because they left the price blank on the forms.
Right.
You know, that's another way of con you.
That's something else.
Yeah, because last year it was right there in black and white. This is what you're paying.
Right.
This year, you look at it, there's no price there. So now they go, yeah, you were confirmed, $700. Good Lord, San Diego doesn't charge us that.
True.
You know what I mean? Dude, you want to be big? Treat with respect. I mean, you know, take care of your own, because, you know, especially, you know, when New York is through it too, take care of your own. What are you, the union? What are you, Jimmy Hoffa? Cut it out. It's like, what do you think this is?
It's true, man. It's true.
You know, it's like, give me a break, dude. That's like, he goes, don't worry about this. Sign this contract. And what they did, they gave us a blank document. Sign this contract.
Right? Blank
document. Yeah, and then when you get that bill, you're like, wow, honey, I think we don't have to sell the car. Why? It's old. Don't worry. We don't need a car. We can use our bicycles. No, in fact, we're going to have to sell that too, because we got to pay for the chairs.
Fucking nuts. It's nuts.
It's crazy. How do you do that? How do you do that? Where's the love? Dang.
Where is the
love? Oh, man.
We'll see what happens next year, though, man.
We'll see what happens next year. Right now, it's total speculation. A lot of the comments that we made were alleged comments and things that we've heard from third parties about what they were told by members of the organization of New York City Comic Con. We don't, in fact, know if that's true. I do know that I did sign a document that didn't have any prices on it, so I'm a little afraid to see what they're going to quote me if they accept this, because if they listen to the show, they'll probably say, you know what, these guys put them on a list. Do not accept. So, you know, it's like you're dead. You're dead. It's Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
And, it's crazy, man.
It's like, yo, these crazy guys are never coming to our show ever. And they're going to call their friends at all the other conventions, put them on the ban list. It's going to be like back in the days when the government, when they thought you were a communist. You were blacklisted. Yeah, that's us. We'd be blacklisted. You know, no retailers are going to pick us up. You know, no conventions are going to open the doors to us. They're not going to answer the phones. Yo, I think my phone tapped right now. And
now we'll see what happens. Come on, we'll see what happens next year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, much love, much love. But anyway, on the other side of things, the New York City, the Indie After Party, the second annual Indie After Party. What were you expecting from the Indie After Party?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, I think you went in there expecting a lot. I thought it was going to be, you know, what it was last year, fun, and, you know, we were just going to go out there and kind of bug out. I mean, I wasn't really expecting it to be, like, crazy, you know? Big, you know, just because of what the show was.
Right.
You know what I mean? The show wasn't all that great. So I was like, okay, at the party, you know, let's see what happens. So, you know, I was in there going kind of like, you know, with an open mind as to how it was going to be.
See, with me is, I think of it like a promoter. It's like, all right, Mike Tyson, you know, I'm Don King, right? I'm putting together a headlining fight, right? I'm going to make sure this fight is going to be on pay-per-view. I'm going to make sure that it's going to be the fight of the century. Bam, the fight's over. Next year, I'm going to make sure that that fight and those tickets sell through the roof. It's getting better and bigger, and it draws the crowd and gets all the press hype and all that stuff. And this is what this is my thinking, and I do kick myself because I wasn't as involved. All I did was, you know, sponsor it and help promote, but I wasn't as involved as I should have been. Because one thing, even though it's comic books and even though it was an Indie After Party, I think independents need press. Mm-hmm. I think the Indie After Party is a great way to get press.
Right.
If it's done in a way that's going to make people want to call their friends and say, yo, you want to leave that party and come here.
Right.
Yo, this is the party you want to talk about for days after.
Right.
This is the kind of, you know, thing that you wanted. You know, it was great that we had two floors. And at one point, both floors were full. It was like, yeah, at the first part of the party, the first half hour.
Right.
But then when people saw what it was, you know, like, you know, it wasn't as hyped and crazy that, you know, that it was anticipated to be. A lot of people started going to the other parties.
Right.
And I think what we could have done differently, in a sense, was, number one, I didn't like the arrangement, you know, because they had the food upstairs. But then they have these big King Arthur Knights of the Round Table tables. They were just huge. You have these big, huge tables, and everybody planted themselves on the tables, and the rest of the people standing there. So now you have a 3.5-foot walk space to the back of the room where they had the food to get between those tables. So now you have a line. You have a cheese line. You know, it's wick time, and people going to get their cheese and their milk and bring it home. And that's what you had. And so then there was that frustrating part because as soon as somebody, you know, the caterers put the food down, it was gone because the first 10 people in the front of the line got the food and the rest of them, everybody else had to wait another half hour until they replenished.
Right.
So that in itself, the food should have been on the first level downstairs with the seating. In the second level, those tables should have been out of there.
Right.
I would have got rid of those tables. I would have had a couple of side chairs around the perimeter of the floor. But leave more standing room for talking and you know, and having fun. And if people wanted to dance, to dance. You know what I mean? That's number one. That's the first observation I made. Second was the DJ gone next year. He shouldn't be there. And the songs from last year were played again this year. So it's like, you know, you did have live performances, but you were playing the same songs. And I think what you want to do is you want to elevate the game. You want to have a different score list. You want to have a different selection. And then you also want to have music that's going to make people want to lose control. Music makes me lose control. You know what I'm saying? You want to walk into, don't you think the government buzz roll like me. You know what I'm saying? You want to walk into like Busta Rhymes. You want to walk into something that's going to make you want to, oh, bop, bam. You know, something that's going to get everybody hyped. And that's what I'm thinking is that in my mind, I'm like, wow. You know, you want to jam, you know, For me, I think if we do, you know, contribute to next year, if we do, if we even involved in New York City Comic Con at all, if we do go, and if we're involved in independent after party, I think number one, you don't want your regular nobody knows who you are DJ. If I'm gonna pay money to sponsor a show, I'm gonna get me a name out there, someone that's gonna be able to jam, someone's gonna be able to bring in, you know, make people jump. You know, who knows how to...
Well, maybe the thing is also the venue where it's being held, you know what I mean? Maybe,
yeah, and that's not, you know, I mean, if it's...
I don't know what the politics behind it were. Like, what, this guy was like, no, you can't move that, or you gotta keep that there, or you gotta, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened.
No, I just think... I think, and at the same time, you know, I think also for instance, the problem I had there was... Like when I got there, I wanted to put my back on the back, and the DJ had an attitude.
Right.
My mind, I'm like, dude, I'm paying for you to be here. Shut up and put my back there. You know what I mean? You're not gonna tell me I'm not putting my back there. You know, and that was a frustrating. I didn't even know who this cat was. You know what I'm saying? But I know I'm paying for this guy. Right. You know, and it's like that was frustrating alone in itself. And the second thing is he had to cut out early, so he had to take his mixers. So the band, the live performances had to stop early. I'm paying for that. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I would have known that, I found that after the fact, I would be like, no, I'm not paying you up front. I'll wait till the show's over, and then when it's time for you to collect, I'll give you half the money. You want the rest of the money? You stay until the show was over.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the way I work. You know, and that's, you know, I don't know if that went down that way. I don't know what's up, because I was a little annoyed anyway. But I think for an indie after party, forget about the fact that it's comic books. Forget it's a party. Just use the word party. When you think party, you want crazy. You know, when you hear the word party, you want... And if it's going to be an annual, it has to be... It's got to be progression. There has to be a change in tempo. You have to go from here to there. You can't stay here in this playing field, because what's going to happen is the word's going to get out and no one's going to come. So what's going to happen is going to be a lot of sponsors. It's just going to be a hangout. If that's how people want it to be, if you just wanted to be a hangout where just people just talk, fine. But if you wanted to be a venue where possibility of you getting more press, possibility of you networking with the right people, possibility, you know, whatever it is, and you want to have fun and party, then it has to, the venue has to get better. It can't just stay stagnant. It can't remain the same way. And that's just me talking, you know, and people might not agree with me. You know, one thing, you know, it's like going to a family party, like a kid's birthday party. All the adults are sitting at the table drinking or whatever while the kids are over there, you know. And that's how it felt. It's like you had the cliques that knew each other that sat at tables. You know what I'm saying? They went and planted themselves. And they didn't socialize with the rest of the place. You know what I'm saying? So, go out there and find out who that cat is. Go out there and find out who she is. Introduce yourself. Walk over. Like we did. We forced ourselves into these people's faces.
Right.
You know, who are you? What do you do? Get on the mic. Get your voice heard. Because you're standing here talking to the three guys you came with all night. The party is about mingling. It's about, you know, getting to know each other. It's about, you know, building bridges. And all I saw was clicks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's your opinion. And, you know, people party differently. I mean, to them, maybe that was a party. You talk to them, they'd be like, yo, I had a blast at that party.
You know what I mean?
Maybe that's just the way they party.
Maybe I didn't drink enough, but
I think that if next year something like that goes down, I mean, I agree. And you know what? Maybe it's a cultural difference. You know what I mean? To me, when I hear party, I hear music.
Yes.
I hear dancing.
Yes.
I hear people bugging out.
Right.
When you come back the next day and be like, yo, I can't believe you did that night.
Yes.
I can't believe, yo, did you see? You're like kicking dance. You saw how you was moving up on the dance.
Yes.
To me, that's a party. That's just where I come from. Since I was a little kid. And the parties went from 8 o'clock at night to like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
People did not want to leave. That was a party.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe this is what it is. You know what I mean? You know, people party differently. I mean, I think that you're right. You know, the DJ was weak. Wasn't a good DJ at all. I mean, I spent a lot of the time downstairs because there was no room upstairs at first.
Right.
And then by the time I got back upstairs, I was like, where did everybody go?
Right.
You know what I mean? And all I heard was downstairs was like Atlantic Star playing Always or some shit. Like, it was just some old school jams.
Yeah.
Nobody dances to.
I was like,
people will listen to this to forget about, you know, people they broke up with and stuff. You know what I mean? It was like just old school dramatic. Just like, I want to kill myself. My girlfriend left me. I want to hear, you know, some Nelly Furtado stuff, some Timberland joints, some new, just new. And it doesn't even have to be that. Even if you put the Bee Gees, you know, Saturday Night Live soundtrack, put something moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah, something.
Make it happen.
Yes.
You know, and that's just not what it wasn't. That, you know what I mean? I mean, who do you blame? I don't know.
You don't. But I think what happens.
You just try to, you know, make it better next year.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If there is the next year. If there is
the next year, and if we're involved next year, I think, you know, when you, I think the parties, I think the parties that are sponsoring it, I think what happens is we put a lot of the burden of organizing it on one person's shoulders.
Yeah.
And that was Philip Clark. You know, he did, you know, and he's doing it from California. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there's, he's going to have limited control of certain things because he's not here to oversee it. And I think we failed to do our parts to say, hey, collectively, this is what I'm going to secure the DJ. You secure this. You make sure this. Make sure that we talk to the bar people, say they get those tables out of there, you know, so this way clear the floor. You know, those kind of things that could have been done that wasn't done. You know what I mean? You know, I look back and I look at it and I'm like, all right, you know, because, dude, I was like, it felt like what we do at the Big Apple, the Saturday nights when we all go out and just have drinks.
Right.
That's what it felt like. It felt like there's a bunch of guys got together and had drinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what I don't want. You know what I mean? I want people to say this is, you know, and I had people that, and that was the hard part to swallow because there were people that I hyped up so much that they would normally go to a Marvel party. They showed up first there to check it out and like, yo, I'm out. Because all right, I checked it out because you said so, but I'm gone. You know what I mean? And it's like, this ain't happening. And that's what you don't want. And you know, it's just, it's a learning curve. And I realize, you know, that, you know, I think we all should have been on the same game. And
who was the DJ last year?
Huh?
Who was the DJ last year?
There was no DJ. It was just live bands.
Oh, it was the whole just live bands?
Yeah, it was, you know, Philip Clark performed and Christian Baranek performed and Melvin and Zurich. And, you know,
it was live last year.
Last year was a lot better. Number one, it was funny because we walked away talking about it all, you know, night. And we all had a blast. And I think what happened was the excitement from the New York City Comic Con spilled over to the party.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We were.
You know, we were so hyped.
Disappointed faces.
Right. And everybody was so excited and so happy. And when you got to the party, it was just like everyone was mellow.
Yeah.
You know, it was like The Walking Dead. I was like, wow, I just couldn't dig it. I was like, man, where are these other parties going down?
A lot of people came upstairs and just like, well, there's another party going on, so I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, people came in and said, yo, I just came to check it out because you said so. I'm going up there, and it bounced. You know, like, bounce. Come on, bounce. I was like, wow, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I was afraid to go upstairs. We were hanging on the main floor most of the time. I was like, yo, I didn't even want to put the camera on. That's how frustrated I was. Because
I think the food comes too early. I think the food needs to come like
last
2 hours into the party.
Yeah.
To make sure people stay. Because people came for the food and bounced.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? People came, oh, it's free food, I'm out. You know what I mean? And we got stuck eating Subway downstairs.
Yeah, because I couldn't even get anything.
Right.
The savages. All I got was this jalapeno cheddar popper that when I bit into it exploded my throat, and it felt like someone threw acid in the back of my throat. It was disgusting. And I was dying. I was gagging. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yes, indeed, sir.
I was like, I'm being attacked.
I thought it was chicken or something. You bit into that thing. I was like, what the hell is this?
And then people were talking about, oh yeah, I had chicken wings and I had this. I said, you had chicken? I said, I had one jalapeno popper. I was like, whatever that shit was. And I paid to starve. I paid for that DJ. Are you kidding me? I said, I got robbed.
I know.
I guys, this is crazy. The whole weekend was just like, I was like, damn, what's going on here? Yeah. You know, it was, and we try to make it, even like, you know, for the video show, we try to make it exciting. We try to get people to come out of their skin and just be free and, you know, to get their, but even like the video, you know, I'm editing it now and it's just not as exciting as it was last year. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got to do some, you know, movie magic and make it look like it's, you know, bigger than it was, but it just felt like a hangout.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things, you know, it was a learning process. And I think, you know, what happens is if we do get shafted next year with New York City Comic Con, and if we get approved and, you know, whatever, they go through that whole process and we don't get screwed and they, you know, and they still dump us upstairs on the roof. I think, because that's what it felt like. It felt like I was on a roof, and I was getting pigeons dropping turd on me all night. It was just like, yo, and that Friday night, yo, I was like, wow, good lord, we here at 9 o'clock. I was like, yo.
Yeah, you guys were there too late.
We were there at 9 o'clock. I was like, good. And they didn't even announce it. It was like 9:30 when they were still haven't announced it. They didn't shut off the lights. It was like, good lord, when are we leaving? I was like, yo, John, back up. I'm out. I'm not staying here till midnight. Hell with this. He was like, get me out. And it's funny because some of the other publishers were like, yo, let's go out to drink. I said, I'm not drinking, dude. I've been here all morning. I've been here from 8 to 9:30 at night. Are you crazy? That's 13 and a half hours. Get out of here. I'm home. It was nuts. But if we get dumped on the roof again next year, you know, we have to, you know, rethink our strategy. You know, we got to rethink about, you know, how to get those people to know we're upstairs. We got to think about, you know, advertisement and getting, you know, field people, you know, whether it's interns or whatever the case is, to go out on the field and drive that traffic, because, you know, they're not going to do it for us. We got to do it for ourselves, you know, and those are one of the concerns that I have. I mean, you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff when you're in San Diego, but, you know, for the New York City Comic Con, you know, hopefully it'll be better next year, but, you know, if I'm up there, you know, with the birds and it's raining, you know what I mean? I got to pop open an umbrella, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, I don't know how it was, but I didn't see a lot of people up there, even for the celebrities, man.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Or the celebrities.
You know what it is? Because no one realized that there was a third level. Right. You don't, you know, you're not, until, well, how did I find it? I found it because of John. Yeah, I found it was John or David the Wolf, Tequila. Somebody met me and took me up there because I didn't know where it was. Oh, you know, okay. He's like, yo, we're in the roof. he's like, it's a little chilly up here, so bring your coat. You know, it's like, it was just like, I was like, wow. And I knew the moment I got there, I was like, wow, we're going to have a tough time. We're going to have a tough time. You know, location is key. And I'm not, and I don't have the capital to be paying astronomical fees to be in the right location. I want to be able to get the same respect in Artist Alley. That's why there is an Artist Alley. You know, we're going to Pittsburgh Comic Con, and we do great at Pittsburgh, and we have a booth. We have a booth, a small press booth, half the price of what we paid for Artist Alley in New York City Comic Con.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But we get more traffic, we do more sales, we generate more sales, we get more press. We didn't even, speaking of press, we didn't even get any press. And normally, one thing we're known for is the press that we get at events. We're always securing some sort of interview. We're always, you know, getting more notoriety and all that stuff. But they didn't even know we were there. You know what I mean? Crazy. Who? You're where? Can you send it to me on my GPS? Send me a signal, and I'll look for you. they said a search and rescue team. Yo, oh God, you're killing me. Yo, this is just nuts. I'm dying here. I'm dying. Yo, but you know, for us financially, it was a loss. You know, one thing we did
get was a loss for a lot of.
Yeah, but, you know, one thing we did get out of it is we did get that article in the Jersey Journal, and we did get a write-up, another review for Disney in My Toilet on Hero Times, so that was pretty cool.
You know what? We met some cool people. We gave a shout-out to Mr. Kano, who came to the table and was, like, excited about the show, one of
LaShawn
Thomas' friends.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He was one of the guys that I convinced to come to the party. He got there. He walked in. He says, all right, I came to check it out. All right, peace, I'm out. He says, peace.
kind of sit down next to some cool people. We interviewed Sean Chen.
Yes, Sean Chen, Mike Lilly. You know,
he was very cool. His wife was very cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we got to talk to, you know, quite a bit of people and make new friends, you know, that's for sure. And at Pittsburgh, we're going to be hanging out with Rich from that creates Sentinels and the cat that did Scoodles, Mr. Scoodles. He's going to be out there. And, you know, we're all going to hang out and, you know, have fun, you know. And the Pittsburgh Comic Con is a show you want to have fun at. And it's a really great show. And I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, that's my assessment. You might not agree. You know, I know you're listening out there. It's like, damn, you guys are hard. I'm not being hard. I'm being realistic, dude. You know, you want to return on your investment in an event like New York Comic Con or San Diego. It's almost guaranteed that you're going to do well, you know, because and location plays a big part. You know, there were pros, there were cons, you know. It did, you know, they did sell a lot. I mean, there were lines down the block, you know. There was a new product that excited me at the event and stuff like that, but I didn't have that same feeling I had last year.
Right.
And I went to San Diego 2 years in a row, and each year for me it gets better. You know, each year it's like when you get there, you're like, you're so damn giddy. You're like a kid in a candy store. You're like, wow. And it's just...
It's a lot of work, but it doesn't even feel like a lot of work.
Yeah, and it's just an adventure, you know? And it's 5 nights, and every night after the event, there are all these parties. So you know what I'm saying? So you get up at 8, 7 in the morning. You get back to your hotel at 3, 4 in the morning to get up at 7 in the morning and do that 5 days in a row.
Right.
And you love every minute of it. That's you know, that's the big boys right there. You know what I mean? That's the stuff that, you know, boom, I'm willing to pay the flight, the hotel, you know, the marketing, the promotion, you know, the books, the luggage, you know, shipping all your merchandise out there and all that stuff, the money that you spent on food and on transportation and going to Tijuana and hanging out with your boys, you know, that kind of stuff, and you come back broke as a bum in the middle of Times Square looking at somebody eating inside Starbucks, you know what I'm saying? You're just salivating. You come back broke, but you come back happy.
Right.
And you come back reflecting, and you come back waiting for next year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Anticipating the following year. And that's the sign of a true, a well-rounded, well-established organization that can cater to hundreds of thousands of people and make them all walk away happy.
Nah, I mean, that freaking convention's been around since the 70s.
Yeah, they've established themselves.
They know. I mean, maybe at the beginning they sucked as bad, and people were like, "Oh, what the heck's going on?" And you know, but we'll see what happens. You know,
we'll see what happens. You know,
the New York Comic Con's life and.
Yeah.
It's just a baby.
It's just, but at the same time, it's run by an organization that runs the Book Expo.
Right.
International Book Expo, and it's done in different countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they have multiple publications, you know,
right.
Publishers Weekly and, you know, all these other magazines that they run. So it's not like these guys came out of the woodworks and they don't know how to run an event.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's both sides of the coin. And I think they've been around long enough. And, you know, come on, one of the guys is a partner at Diamond or whatever. You know, I think, you know, they've had enough insight and information from the industry to know how to run it, you know. And yes, they have a lot of positive things going for them. I think we're just speaking for a minority.
But you know what? Yeah. But you know what? I think they're still learning.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still learning the industry itself, you know. It's different, you know. Comic books and books are two different things, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have too many independent independent book companies or whatever. You know what I mean? You don't have independent people who print out books. You just the big dogs. That's all they have.
No, because even at the New York City Comic Con, there was a family. They were self publishers of a novel, and I'm sure they have that at the Book Expos. That were self-publishers. They went and took their hard-earned cash and went and had actual hardcover novels printed up and manufactured. And they're looking for a publisher to distribute them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, so I'm sure there's plenty of those people around that go to the Book Expo. You know,
No excuses.
No, you say, yo, Sam, it doesn't matter what I say. Every time I say something, you got to answer.
No excuses.
No excuses.
I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
No, I mean, yeah, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. I just think, you know, from...
I think that they do have to learn from... We look at it as a mistake. They may see it as, shit, we made our money, so who cares? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
They see it as, you know what, dude, we don't really need you because we got everybody
exactly.
else. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? We're giving you... We're giving you... The crumbs, take it, eat it, enjoy it, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, that's you know, that's how could it be it could be looked at because it's New York and that's how it happens in New York, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the you know, small guy finishes last, you know what I'm saying? But that's if they're looking at it that way. I just felt and I'm just speaking for me and based on, you know, the conversations that we've had with other publishers in the Artist Alley arena, and even in the small press section. And the consensus was from Small Press and from Artist Alley, to the people that we spoke to, was that they felt shafted.
Right.
You know, and that's just from that point. I'm sure people had fun, you know. But you know what? I didn't see it all over the news like we saw the first one. I didn't see all the commercials busting
true.
Out. I didn't hear all the after comments afterwards. I didn't read about it in the newspapers like we did last year when it was on everything from the New York Times to Daily News to this and that. You know what I mean? So I don't know what that's about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that were different, you know, this year as opposed to last year. There was just so much hype involved in the whole thing. You heard it on the radio stations. You saw it on the commercials. You saw it on the buses. You saw it, you know, in all the every newspaper you saw it was there. Boom, boom, boom. New York was talking about the New York Comic Con.
Right.
Just like when you go to San Diego. Every bus has the San Diego Comic Con on it.
Right. The whole city just...
The whole city embraces it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? This didn't happen this year. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Maybe I had freaking horse blinds on, but I didn't see it.
Right.
Last year, I saw it. It was all over there. It was stamped in your forehead. You know, you walked down the street, people were having seizures. New York Comic Con! New York Comic Con!
People come from all over the freaking
yeah.
world and stuff.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
People sneak out of Mexico to come, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Orale vato loco. You know what I mean? It's just... You know, I like to see what happens next year. I hope we get approved. You know, if we do get, you know, placed in that room, the punish room, if we get put in solitary confinement, you know, we just have to rethink our game plan. If, you know, we know ahead of time, then we got to think about, you know, how many people we're going to need on the floor driving traffic.
Right.
You know, because it's not going to come. And they're not going to know we're there. We gotta think about whether or not we put an advertisement in a magazine like Wizard, you know, to identify our location. And we gotta think about whether we partner with some retailers to get some promotional material there. We gotta think there's a lot of things to think about to make sure that, you know, we're not getting the short end of the stick, you know, just because we're in a location that's not as easily locatable as the main exhibit hall. You know what I mean? Because to think about it, I gotta go up two flights. You know what I'm saying? You know, people like, you know, they walk around the entire exhibit hall, they're like, oh, I gotta go up there. And then when they walk in there, they go, oh, it's just a bunch of tables. There's no glitz and glamour up there. There's no, like, all this, you know, beautiful stuff going on. You know, there's a bunch of tables and people sitting behind tables. You know, and so, you know, your first response is like, oh, I'm gonna go back down there where it's exciting, it's colorful, it's vibrant, it's, you know, hustle and bustle, and, you know, it's that those kind of things. So, you know, I said put the gamers upstairs and put us back in where we need to be. You know, that's my end. I know the gamers bring in more people than you do, you lousy.
It is.
Yeah, I was like, hey. But that's, you know, you might think differently. You know, check out our blog on our opinion of the event and on the Indie After Party. I'm still not finished. It's entitled Surviving Comic Con, and George's, he wrote one called, you know, What a Difference a Year Makes. So, and let us know what you think. I mean, whether you agree or disagree, and tell us why. You know, I mean, it's not something we're going to fight about, you know, but this is how we felt. You know, I just felt that, you know, we had a potential to do, you know, to move a certain amount of units and to expose our product to a larger number of people that we did, and we did, actually did. And a lot of it was, and now this firsthand, people just couldn't find us. And this is even from press. You know, I got press contacting me saying we couldn't find you. And that's unfortunate, you know. And it was frustrating for me. But, you know, the other side of it, you know, there were some good things about it, you know. And I know, when I was walking the place, I wanted to stay on the main exhibit hall. I didn't want to go back up to my little room. I didn't want to go back to the attic, you know? Yeah, I was like, oh, man, please, Dad, don't make me, you know? But, you know, and then for the guys at New York City, the indie after party dudes, you know, it's a learning process for all of us. You know, I thought, you know, I don't know if you guys agree with me, you know, but that's what I felt. You know, you guys can ban me and, you know, saying, you know what, forget you guys. We don't love you anymore. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, I think, you know, next year we have a potential to be better, but we have to, you know, we have to live it and we have to prove it. And the only way to prove it is by, you know, stepping up the game and making people get on those cell phones and say, yo, dude, get over here. You need to come here. And the only way they're going to do that is if we step up the game, we, you know, bring up the pace and get that party started. You know what I'm saying? You wanna, get, you know, jiggling, baby. Go ahead, baby. Get jiggling, baby. Uncle L, future of the funk. You know,
that was crazy, man. It's getting late.
Huh? Yeah, no, it's getting late. It's like 5 a.m. I'm Sam, the Crazy Man Vera, and this is our report of the New York City Comic Con and the second annual Indie After Party. What do you think? Do you agree with us? Do you not agree with us? Let us know on our forum. Let us know on our blog. Email us. You know, email the Dreamer Medina. He never checks his email. So, and you know, we'd love to respond to your thoughts. And if you have a legitimate, you know, there's something legitimate you want to talk about, you know, we'll get you on the show and we'll talk about it. All right.
Got it.
I'm saying the Crazy Man Vera.
George, it's Jim and Medina.
And we out. Walking steady, coming
in fast, Philip Clark, Dream Child Press. You're watching Catch the Craze podcast.
That's what I'm wondering, and you're watching Catch the Craze.
Why are writers, publishers, artists, animators, and musicians running to Catch the Craze podcast audio mix? Because we deliver each week, all the time, on time, the show dedicated to the small guy. Visit us online at www.catchthecraze.com for more information or download us through iTunes. See you later, baby. We are the heart of the industry. Catch the Craze.
Watch the show, man! Watch the show! Otherwise, I-